वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 19 द परफेक्शन ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट 40-45
भगम ऐश्वरो भावो लाभो मद्भक्तिरुत्तमः विद्यात्मनिभिदा बाधो जुगुप्सा हरिरकर्मसु भागो मैश्वरो भावो लाभो मद्भक्तिरुत्तमः विद्यात्मनिभिदा बाधो जुगुप्सा हरिरकर्मसु भगो मा वै
भगो माईश्वरो भावो लाभो मद्भक्तिरुत्तमः विद्यात्मनिभिदा बाधो जुगुप्सा हरिरकर्मसु भगो माईश्वरो भावो लाभो मद्भक्तिरुत्तमः जुगुप्सा हरिरकर्मसु
मातीजी सो विल रीड दी अदर फोर टेक्स्ट ऑल्सो फोर फाइव टेक्स सिक्स टेक्स्ट हियर
श्रीर्गुणानैरपेक्ष्याद्यये सुखम दुख सुखात्ययः दुखम काम सुखापेक्षा पंडितो बंध मोक्षवित् मूर्खो देहाद्यहं बुद्धि पंथामन निगम स्मृतः उत्पत्थश्चित्त विक्षेपः स्वर्ग सत्व गुणोदयः नरकस्तम उन्नाहो बंधुर्गुरुरहं सखे गृहं शरीरं मानुष्यं गुणाद्यो हि आढ्य उच्यते दरिद्रो यस्त्वन असंतुष्टः कृपणो यो अजितेन्द्रियः गुणेष्वासक्त धीरीशो गुणसंगो विपर्ययः एत उद्धवते प्रश्नाः सर्वे साधु निरूपितः किं वर्णितेन बहुना लक्षणं गुणदोषयोः गुणदोषदृशिर्दोषो गुणस्तुभ्य वर्जितः
word to word meanings
bhagah
opulence
me
my
aishwarah
divine
bhavah
nature
labh
gain
mat bhakti
devotional service unto me
Uttamaha, supreme. Vidya, education. Atmani, in the soul. Bhida, duality. Badha, nullifying. Jugupsa, disgust. Harihi, modesty. Akarmasu, in sinful activities. Shri, beauty. Guna, good qualities. Nairapeksha, detachment from material things. Adya, and so on. Sukham, happiness. Dukkha, material unhappiness. Sukha, and material happiness. Atyayaha, transcending. Dukkham, unhappiness. Kama, of lust. Sukha, on the happiness. Apeksha, meditating. Pandita, a wise man. Bandha, from bondage. Moksha, liberation. With one who knows. Murkha, a fool. Deha, with the body. Adi, and so forth, the mind. Aham buddhi, one who identifies himself. Pantha, the true path. Mat, to me. Nigama, leading. Smrita, is to be understood. Utpatha, the wrong path. Chitta, of consciousness. Vikshepaha, bewilderment. Swarga, heaven. Sattvaguna, on the mode of goodness. Udyaha, the predominance. Narakaha, hell. Tamaha, of the mode of ignorance. Unnaha, the predominance. Bandhu, the real friend. Guruhu, the spiritual master. Aham, I am. Sakhe, my dear friend Uddhav. Griham, one's home. Shariram, the body. Manushyam, human. Guna, with good qualities. Adyaha, enriched. He, indeed. Adyaha, a rich person. Uchyate, is stated to be. Daridraha, a poor person. Yaha, one who. Tu, indeed. Asantushtaha, unsatisfied. Kripanaha, a wretched person. Yaha, one who. Ajita, has not conquered. Indriyaha, the senses. Guneshu, in material sense gratification. Asaktaha, not attached. Dhi, whose intelligence. Ishaha, a controller. Guna, to sense gratification. Sangaha, attached. Viparyayaha, the opposite, a slave. Ete, these. Uddhava, my dear Uddhav. Te, your. Prashnaha, subjects of inquiry. Sarve, all. Sadhu, properly. Nirupita, elucidated. Kim, what is the value? Varnitena, of describing. Bahuna, elaborately. Lakshanam, the characteristics. Guna, of good qualities. Doshayo, and of bad qualities. Guna dosha, good and bad qualities. Drishihi, seeing. Doshaha, a fault. Gunaha, the real good quality. Tu, indeed. Ubhaya, from both of them. Varjitaha, distinct. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada. Translation. Actual opulence is my own nature
as the personality of Godhead, through which I exhibit the six unlimited opulences. The supreme gain in life is devotional service to me, and the actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul. Real modesty is to be disgusted with improper activities, and beauty is to possess good qualities such as detachment. Real happiness is to transcend material happiness and unhappiness, and real misery is to be implicated in searching for sex pleasure. A wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage, and a fool is one who identifies with his material body and the mind. The real path in life is that which leads to me, and the wrong path is sense gratification, by which consciousness is bewildered. Actual heaven is the predominance of the mode of goodness, whereas hell is the predominance of ignorance. I am everyone's true friend, acting as the spiritual master of the entire universe, and one's home is the human body. My dear friend Uddhava, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be rich, and one who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. One who attaches himself to sense gratification is the opposite, a slave. Thus, Uddhava, I have elucidated all of the matters above which you inquired. There is no need for a more elaborate description of these good and bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself a bad quality. The best quality is to transcend material good and evil. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally full of six opulences, namely unlimited beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, strength, and renunciation. Therefore, the greatest profit in life is to achieve personal loving service to the Lord, who is naturally the reservoir of all pleasure. Real education means to give up the false idea that anything is separate from the Lord, the source of all potencies. Similarly, one should not falsely consider the individual soul to be different or separate from the Supreme Soul. Mere bashfulness does not constitute modesty. One should spontaneously withdraw in disgust from sinful activities. Then one is actually modest or humble. One who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness and thus does not seek material pleasure or suffer material unhappiness is considered to be actually situated in happiness. The most wretched person is one addicted to sex pleasure, and a wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from such material bondage. A fool is one who gives up his eternal friendship with Lord Krishna and instead identifies himself with his own temporary material body, mind, society, community, and family. The real path in life is not simply a modern interstate highway, or in more simple cultures, a footpath free of thorns and mud. It is that path which leads to Lord Krishna. The wrong path in life is not simply a road having many thieves or toll booths. It is that path that leads one to utter confusion in material sense gratification. A heavenly situation is that in which the mode of goodness predominates, rather than that found on the planet of Indra, where passion and ignorance sometimes disturb the celestial atmosphere. Hell is anywhere the mode of ignorance is predominant, and not merely the hellish planets, where according to Lord Shiva, a pure devotee can think of Krishna and remain happy. Our actual friend in life is the bona fide spiritual master who saves us from all dangers. Among all gurus, Lord Krishna is himself the Jagat Guru or spiritual master of the entire universe. In material life, our own material body is our immediate home rather than some structure of bricks, cement, stone and wood. A rich man is one who possesses innumerable good qualities,
He is not a neurotic fool with a large bank account. A poor man is one who is unsatisfied, which is self-explanatory. One who cannot control his senses is certainly wretched and miserable in life, whereas one who detaches himself from material life is actually a lord or controller. In the modern times, there are remnants of aristocracy in Europe and other countries, but such so-called lords often display the habits of lower forms of life. A real lord is one who conquers material existence by rising to the spiritual platform. A person who is attached to material life will undoubtedly manifest the opposites of all the good qualities mentioned here, and he is thus the symbol of going backward in life. The Lord concludes in his analysis by stating that there is no need for further elaboration of these good and bad qualities. Indeed, the purpose of life is to transcend materially good and bad qualities and come to the liberated platform of pure Krishna consciousness. This point will be further explained in the following chapter. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in these concluding verses of the 19th chapter of 11th canto, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, He is giving the conclusion to the perfection of spiritual knowledge, perfection of spiritual life. And basically, like, He is giving a lot of definitions in these six verses that we read. And it's like summarizing the art of living. How to progress towards that supreme ultimate destination. He's explaining what is real gain in life, what is real humility, what is actual profit, what is loss, what is true beauty, happiness, what is heaven, hell, who is actually rich, who is actually poor. Now these are very basic definitions that the Supreme Lord gives. And if you look at these definitions, the essence basically in all of these definitions is hinted at just one particular thing. The whole description distills down to two things, that one should disengage oneself from material sense gratification and engage in the service of the Lord. And in these verses he describes what are those qualities which denotes a person, or which signifies whether a person is divine or demoniac in nature. So through these qualities he is kind of hinting to evaluate ourselves, to find out which qualities are predominant in us and which qualities we are supposed to develop. So yes, definitely when we talk about material sense gratification, when Krishna is repeatedly trying to emphasize that one should withdraw one's senses from material sense gratification, and true beauty is, you know, one who tries to develop those divine qualities. Now in material world, many a times sense gratification is very subtle and very strong. And that is why the Lord has to repeatedly emphasize, time and again we find in all the scriptures. And we see that how in this current world also, it is not just the gross sense gratification that is, you know, visible. Even so many, subtle ways, there are so many polished and sophisticated enterprises that are in place, which are there just to facilitate mutual sense gratification. I am running this business so that your sense gratification is possible, your sense gratification is facilitated, and in turn you give me money so that my sense gratification gets facilitated. And therefore we see that in this world, Prabhupada used to say that demons in Kali Yuga need not be what we see or what we hear, the descriptions in Yamloka and, you know, people with horns and everything. Nahin. Those demoniac qualities, those demons are very much visible when we see people taking demoniac decisions, making demoniac strategies, having demoniac priorities to facilitate one's own sense gratification. And therefore, you know, in the shastras, in the history, we find that how there are some personalities who personify these demoniac qualities. So Kamsa in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is such a personification of such a demoniac quality. And it is explained that in the initial chapters of the 10th canto, we read that how Kamsa was so very much happy seeing Devaki getting married. And he was feeling very much elated. He was feeling very happy that Devaki is getting married to Vasudev. And now we are also now connected to another great lineage. So his sense gratification was being facilitated just by Devaki getting married to Vasudev. And out of his happiness that he was receiving, he himself volunteers to take Devaki to the house of Vasudev. But then we read that how, you know, in such a predicament, how when Kamsa is so happy and is taking, immediately when there is this Akashvani and the voice from the sky says that the eighth son of Devaki is going to be the cause of your death, immediately Kamsa is able to evaluate the threat to his sense gratification, and immediately his modus operandi changes. From being compassionate to Devaki, from being very loving to Devaki, all of a sudden he catches hold of Devaki's ear, pulls out his sword and is about to chop off Devaki's head. Up until Vasudev he comes to rescue. So yes, it is said that in crisis one's real nature comes in the forefront. Many of us, even while practicing devotional service, we may not be into gross sense gratification. But because of being in the material world since time immemorial, those desires for sense gratification have been very subtly, present within the heart. And therefore, whenever there is a challenging situation, whenever there is a challenge to our sense gratification, that real nature of an enjoyer, of course the real nature is of a servant, but that has been covered by the anarthas, and the conditioned nature of being the enjoyer comes to the forefront. And therefore, when we hear that how in the material world there are these four qualities, you know, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So this defending is defending one's sense gratification. Whenever there is a challenge to one's sense gratification, one wants to defend it. So that is how, you know, Kamsa doesn't just, he of course, he buys the advice of Vasudev and he leaves Devaki, doesn't kill Devaki, but then he definitely imprisons them. And not just that, he goes to kill the six sons of Devaki. And as if he's not satisfied with killing the six sons of Devaki, when he hears that, you know, the person who is supposed to kill him is already born, he employs all these big time demons like Putana, Trinavarta and others to kill, and specifically Putana, he employs to kill all the newborn children who have taken birth in Brajbhumi. And Prabhupada used to say that, you know, that is the nature of world wars. The world war is when a few, because just to protect their sense gratification, they don't hesitate to make strategies and plans to kill millions. That is the nature of sense gratification. So, and what is the result in such a person is an anxiety till the very end. And a beautiful purport in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 13th to 15th verse, Srila Prabhupada writes that the demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future, more and more. Here is, he is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So on one hand, we see the example of Kamsa, who is the personification of demoniac qualities. On the other hand, is the example of Prahlad in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, who is the personification of divine qualities. And if we evaluate on the criteria of these verses, we see that how Prahlad, he knows what is real gain in life. He is not aspiring to inherit the sovereignty and controllership that Hiranyakashipu had. Hiranyakashipu had a very high degree of controllership within this world. But Prahlad was not aspiring to inherit that controllership of Hiranyakashipu. He knew that the real gain in life is to render devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And that is how he is teaching his classmates what is actual education. He is teaching his classmates that how everything is supposed to be seen in connection with the Supreme Lord. And he explains what is real beauty, what is real happiness. And not just his classmates, Prahlad is also teaching his father what is real control. Real control is not to control the controllers of the material world, the demigods. Real control is to have control over one's own senses and who is a wise man. So when we hear these descriptions of the demoniac qualities, you know, which are personified by Kamsa and the divine qualities exemplified by Prahlad, naturally one will wonder, so how do I personally develop those qualities that we hear in the Shastras, that we hear of in the Srimad Bhagavatam? And the Srimad Bhagavatam itself gives the solution how to do that by the association of the Bhagavatas. So the solution is when we learn from both the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. In the, again, I guess 16th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Yah shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kamakaratah nasa siddhim avapanoti na sukham na paramgatim. That one who leads his life disregarding the injunctions of the scriptures, Yah shastra vidhim, shastro ke vidhi ko, Yah shastra vidhim utsrijya, one who disregards the instructions of the scriptures, vartate kamakaratah, and lives by his own material desires to fulfill his own material desires, nasa siddhim avapnoti, he never achieves perfection in any of his endeavors. Na sukham, he never achieves happiness in this world. Na paramgatim, he doesn't obtain the most perfect destination of the human form of life. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in that Gita, the last verse mentions, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated in this world. So yes, on one hand is following the instructions of the scriptures, and on the other hand is the live examples, observing the live examples who are following the instructions of the Shastras, the pure devotees of the Lord. So just like when there is a product, we may see an advertisement of a product and so many functionalities of that product. But then when we actually walk into the showroom, there is a person who actually demonstrates the different functionalities. And many times by hearing that demonstration, the customer gets convinced. Yes, this is something that is worthwhile, that is worthy of having in my life. So therefore, repeatedly in the scriptures, these divine qualities of a devotee are highlighted. And today, I thought of just discussing of these some of these qualities, which makes a devotee, which is a devotee very rare in this world. What are those qualities which are not ordinarily seen in the material world? So, it is said that a devotee receives these qualities by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who himself has unlimited qualities in unlimited quantities. Krishna is talking about his opulences here in this verse. And a devotee receives these qualities when he takes shelter of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said, no, I don't know Russian language, but they say that in Russian language, the word Krish means shelter. And definitely when one takes shelter, one is able to, one also enjoys in this world. Just like if you are presented with a very hot and crispy pizza in the monsoon season, and there is a heavy downpour that is happening. Now, even though one might be having a very hot and crispy pizza in his hand, he won't be able to enjoy it if there is a heavy downpour that is happening. In order to enjoy what one has, one needs to come under some shelter. So similarly, when one comes, if one is not under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, one cannot enjoy in this world, no matter what he does, since there is a heavy rainfall of miseries that is constantly in place. So what are these, some of these qualities? I have five qualities which we'll try to discuss upon today, which actually makes a devotee very rare in this world. So the very first quality of a devotee is that a devotee is serene. A devotee is calm, composed and cool. Now, it does not, we shouldn't start looking left and right. We are all here, work in progress. Now, we are discussing these gold standards here. So yes, a devotee says no to temptations. That is the quality of a devotee. Because the first challenge for a devotee is when he tries to negate the propositions of the material energy, the first thing that he is presented with is temptations. And a devotee says no to such temptations. Now this is something which is incomprehensible for the outside world. When the people outside, they relish being tempted. There are so many restaurants by the name Temptations. You know, you walk into this restaurant and you will feel tempted to gratify your senses. And that is considered to be a great thing. But back in the community of devotees, a devotee says no to temptations. Nay, I don't want to be tempted by the propositions of my senses. And therefore they say that when we take out things of less value, we get more space to put in things that are of high value. That is the quality of a devotee. A devotee is able to properly evaluate the situation, the quality of enjoyment outside and enjoyment in the association of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami, when he, in his Upadeshamrit, in his Nectar of Instructions, the very first thing that Sri Rupa Goswami addresses is how a devotee says no to temptations. And he enlists these different varieties of temptations. Vacho Vegam, the temptation to just keep on speaking, blabbering, just speaking anything and discussing anything under the sun. And we see in the outside world so much of magazines, so much of newspapers, so much of television channels, all because of this one principle, Vacho Vegam. Manasa, the temptation of the mind. The mind keeps on revolving, thinking and analyzing and, discussing. Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Krodha Vegam, the temptation of anger. Jihva Vegam, Udara, Upastha Vegam. Rupa Goswami describes all these different temptations. But the quality of a devotee is that a devotee is serene. He is not bewildered by these temptations that comes from outside. The second quality of a devotee is that a devotee is service-oriented. He doesn't wish to be served like the people of the outside world. In the materialistic situation, in the outside scenario, the sole conception of everyone is that how everything in the entire creation should get orchestrated in such a manner that, my sense gratification is facilitated. Like we saw the example of Kamsa. But a devotee is service oriented. He doesn't want to be served. He has that desire to serve the Supreme Lord specifically. And that's how we see that people have their desire lists of, getting these things. I typically give this example when I speak to college students. I give them this example that how close to our temple is a college. And the students of that college, they will never visit the temple. But once in a semester, very loyally, early in the morning, you see all these, bhaktas and bhaktins with their college I-cards, coming to the temple. And very devotedly, they will stand before the deities and, they will start praying. And it doesn't take much to guess the occasion. What is the occasion? The occasion is that there is their exams. And they have their plea, ki pure semester work, maybe I didn't put in a lot of endeavor. And doesn't look today I'll be able to do much. But, you are all powerful and therefore here is my plea. Please consider my plea and please help me in my exam. Like that. And of course some advance payment also goes in the hundi. Like that. But a devotee is actually service oriented. In the outside world we see that people aspire for minimum work and maximum pay. But a devotee of the Lord doesn't want to be reimbursed by the Lord. Minimum pay and maximum work. And therefore, it is said that the perks in Krishna consciousness may be very meager, but the retirement plans are out of this world. So all ask what the Lord can do for them, but a devotee asks what he can do for the Lord. And with that desire, a devotee chants the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. With this desire, a devotee addresses the Lord that, my dear Lord Shri Krishna, please engage me in your service. So that is how a devotee is service oriented. The next quality of a devotee is that a devotee is simple minded. He is not complex in his mindset, in the sense that he endeavors to know the desire of the Lord and he just executes the desire of the Lord. It is said that if one wants to chart out his own plan of living happily in this world, it takes a lot of endeavor. But if one just adheres to the plan that is set up by the Lord, how one should live in this world, the life becomes very easy. So that is how a devotee keeps his life very, very simple. Prabhupada used to say that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. Once whose mind is very much analytical, very much judgmental, very much, trying to evaluate things. For such a complicated personality, the path of devotional service becomes very much complicated. But a person who is very simple, he knows what is the desire of the Lord. He knows how priorities have to be properly set in this world. A devotee has his life, lives his life in a very simple manner. He doesn't have the ghost of the controlling mentality within his heart. And therefore, a devotee doesn't want to control. He wants to be controlled by the Lord. Even a devotee doesn't want to control his mind. Now that may seem a little, you know, how a devotee doesn't want to control his mind, how is that? So one time in Mayapur, a devotee, someone asked His Grace Pankaj Angre Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu, that, Prabhuji, how to control the mind? Mind is very restless. Mind is like a monkey, going from one place to another and so many thoughts and so many desires and everything. How to control the mind? And the reply that he received was that a devotee doesn't control his mind. A devotee prays that, my dear Krishna, this is my state of affairs. I am not being able to control my mind. And therefore, do whatever you may be, but I will continue to be engaged in your service. If you wish, please control my mind. Because you are the supreme controller. I just wish to be engaged in your service. I will keep chanting your holy names. And if you so desire, please help me in my service unto your lotus feet. And that is how we see in the case of Parikshit Maharaj also. That how Parikshit Maharaj, he even accepted the curse as the desire of the Lord. And because a devotee is simple-minded, he is ready to give himself in all situations to the Supreme Lord. And even if the Lord rejects, a devotee is not ready to give him up. There is this beautiful example of Mukunda. How in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we read the pastime of the Mahaprakash Leela. And, you know, there are so many devotees who come and who, you know, get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then someone asks that Mukunda is not to be seen here. So the devotees, they plead to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that why you are not giving your mercy to Mukunda? So Lord Chaitanya is very much unhappy. He says, this Mukunda, you know, he also associates in the, he comes in the association of devotees, and after some time he will also go and associate with the Mayavadis, and therefore I don't want to give him his mercy. So that was very painful for the devotees. And when the devotees, they go out and share this news with Mukunda, he is definitely unhappy, but he asks them, can you go and ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, will I ever receive his mercy? Will I ever be a recipient of his compassion? So devotees, they go and ask from Lord Chaitanya that Mukunda wants to know that, will he ever be able to receive your mercy? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just casually, he says that, yes, I will give him my mercy, but after 10,000 years. And now when the devotees, they go and tell, break this news to Mukunda that, you know, it's not possible this time. The Lord says that you will receive his mercy after 10,000 years. And the fact that repeatedly we discuss this pastime is because of the reaction of Mukunda. How Mukunda receives that news. When he receives that news, he jumps up in joy. And he's actually very happy. And he's exclaiming that, yes, finally I will be able to receive mercy of the Lord. He has that confirmation that only 10,000 lives, 10,000, you know, lifetimes he will be the recipient of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, none of us here, you know, even have that confirmation ki, you know, 10,000 lifetime. Definitely, you are going to be a pure devotee, all your anarthas are going to be vanquished. I mean, we don't have that confirmation. We may be in that process. But then Mukunda, he is not ready to give up his devotional service, and his very, even if the Lord rejects, a devotee is not ready to give the service of the Lord. That is how a devotee is simple minded. The fourth quality which makes a devotee very rare is that a devotee is sanguine. Now what is the meaning of sanguine? Sanguine means a devotee is very optimistic. He is very positive, especially in an apparently bad or difficult situation. In this sense, a devotee patiently keeps on executing his activities, his duties, and waits for the causeless grace of Krishna to come his way. In close to Hyderabad, there is a temple of Lord Balaji. one point of time I had gone there with Chaitanya Rupa Prabhu. The name of that Balaji temple is Visa Balaji. Why Visa Balaji? Because Hyderabad is a hub of these IT professionals, and hordes of these IT professionals, they actually come with a copy of their visa applications and they pray to that Balaji. And believe me or not, you know, circumambulating the main altar, there are all these polished youngsters in their late 20s and early 30s, you know, nicely dressed up with their visa applications. They have come there for the causeless grace of the Lord, because, you know, getting a visa is a causeless grace. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, it is completely the causeless grace of the person sitting behind the desk. And therefore, you know, these people, they come with their visa applications. Very surprising, but somehow the local folklore is that it works. And that is how, you know, a devotee actually, so basically a devotee patiently executes his duties and waits for the causeless grace of Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, the successful execution of Krishna consciousness requires both patience and confidence. Prabhupada, in the NOI purport, he gives the example of a newly married girl. Just like a newly married girl naturally expects offspring from her husband, but she cannot expect to have them immediately. After marriage, of course, as soon as she is married, she can attempt to get a child, but she must surrender to the husband, confident that her child will develop and be born in due time. Similarly, in devotional service, surrender means that one has to become confident. One has to be positive. The devotee thinks, avashya rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will surely protect and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. So devotee is sanguine, the devotee is confident. A devotee has that belief, he is optimistic that sooner or later Krishna will definitely bestow his mercy upon me. And finally, the quality which makes a devotee different from people outside is that a devotee is sympathetic. A devotee is compassionate. A devotee wants to share what he has received from the Supreme Lord. He wants to share the gift of Krishna consciousness with the whole world. And he doesn't hesitate to even undertake huge challenges, huge risks for exhibiting his sympathetic nature. You see the beautiful example of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. How, with this quality of being sympathetic, he barged right into the Iron Curtain of the former Soviet Union and, you know, took the books of Krishna consciousness, which was banned, just so that the devotees, the people there, can also benefit from this priceless gift of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, because a devotee is para dukha dukhi, he attracts more and more mercy of the Lord. So beautiful example is that of Kala Krishna Das after the pastime of he being abducted by the Bhattacharyas. Lord Chaitanya, gets him back. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reaches back Puri, he tells to his devotees, you know, I don't want to see his face again. He should not be, you know, there anywhere close to me. And the devotees, they are like completely, you know, aghast that, you know, what if the Lord rejects? What is the hope? But even if the Lord has rejected, the devotees, because of their sympathetic nature, they engage Kala Krishna Das in the Lord's service and ask him to go to Navadvip. Because he was a first-hand witness to all the pastimes of the Lord in South India. And all the devotees in Bengal, in Navadvip, they wanted to know what happened. It so happened in South India. And that is how Kala Krishna Das is sent by the devotees to Navadvip to explain about the pastimes of the Lord in South India. So someone asked Srila Prabhupada, if a devotee is so rare, why preach? We are discussing these rare qualities of a devotee. And then, you know, a devotee is also sympathetic. So these two kind of appear to be contradictory. that if a devotee is anywhere rare, these qualities are very much rare, then why should we be preaching Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada gave a very brilliant example. He said that the Kohinoor diamond is very rare. To buy a Kohinoor diamond, very few will come. But that doesn't mean that the businessmen will stop their propaganda. So when we see these big, huge jewelry shops, three-storied, you go to South India and there are n number of these, three-storied and four-storied Kalyan Jewelers and TBZ with glittering lights and, all kinds of decorations, but empty. But empty. All through the day, hardly a few customers will walk in for seeing some products. Not even buying, just to check out some products. But these companies actually spent huge amounts of money. You see one of the biggest hoardings, biggest ads that you see in all these big cities, in Hyderabad, in Chennai, in Bangalore. Most of these big advertisements are of these, jewelries, these diamonds, these, gold jewelry, so on and so forth. So therefore, even if a Kohinoor diamond is very rare, even if these jewelry is very rare and very few people come, that doesn't mean that the businessman stops his propaganda. So therefore, that is what this sympathetic nature of a devotee, this quality of a devotee to widely make this propaganda of establishing Krishna consciousness, of sharing Krishna consciousness, and the beautiful example of, is of Srila Prabhupada himself. Single-mindedly, single-handedly making a propaganda to flood the world with Krishna consciousness. I mean, that takes kind of a guts to even think that I want to change the whole world. We have a difficulty changing our own lives. And here is a personality who didn't just think, who didn't just plan, who actually made it happen. And we see the results even growing even today. So therefore, if we just, even when we just keep on meditating on these qualities, over a period of time, we will develop that impetus to actually work on them and attract the mercy of the Lord. And therefore, I say that these qualities are something to be aspired for. These qualities shouldn't be something for us to judge others, that we heard these qualities of, being simple-minded, being service-oriented, how service-oriented and how simple-minded are you? No. These qualities that we read in the Shastras are actually for us. So just to summarize, what we discussed is that in these last verses of the 19th chapter, Krishna is redefining the different understandings, the understanding of true wealth, understanding of true beauty and so on. And he classifies these two things into these demoniac and divine qualities. And we saw the example of Kamsa as the personification of demoniac qualities. We saw the example of Prahlad as the personification of divine qualities. And how it is these divine qualities which make a devotee rare. And we discussed these five qualities, that how a devotee is serene in the sense that he is composed. He patiently waits for the mercy of the Lord to come his way. A devotee is service-oriented. He doesn't wish to just engage everyone for his service. He wishes to be engaged in the service of the Lord. A devotee is simple-minded, not complicated, just wants to live his life as per the plan that is advocated by the Lord himself and the devotees of the Lord himself. A devotee is sanguine. He is optimistic, very much positive. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishwas Palana. He is very much positive. And finally, a devotee is sympathetic. He wants to share the gifts that he has received from the Supreme Lord. And when we meditate on these qualities, definitely seeing our endeavor, just like the small bird was trying to, evaporate the, empty the ocean, attracted the mercy of Garuda. So similarly, if we sincerely endeavor to cultivate these qualities, the mercy of the Lord will definitely come our way. With those words, I'd like to stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.